This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I've been pulling since I was about 8 years old, third grade. I'm 31 right now. And the story goes is that we had our state testing and it must have stressed me out a lot because my parents noticed that I had like these bald spots. And so, yeah, I've just been pulling from my head since I was a little kid. And it's been kind of, and it was really tough kind of in middle school, and there was some bullying from that. And it really was something that I was trying to deal with for a long time and didn't really have a good handle on until like high school and then college and into adulthood. But that's kind of the very short version of things.
At what point did you find out there was a name for the behavior you were doing?
So I'm trying to think. I was either formally diagnosed either back at the time or when I was 12 because of the bullying and stuff caused some depression and stuff, and I was in therapy and saw a psychiatrist. So if it wasn't like immediately, it was when I was 12 is when I got a good idea of more of what this was.
Did you feel any sense of relief knowing that there was a name for this?
Yeah, I do think it helped. I definitely still felt like the only one until more like high school and especially college, but I do think it helped a little. And there was like one teacher who I believe had a daughter who also had it. And for a long time, that was the only person I kind of like knew of and didn't even really know because she was like a little kid. You know, it did help a little bit.
When you were going through it and you had bald spots, were you able to cover it up at all? Were there things that you tried?
So that's the thing that's really interesting with me is for a long time, I couldn't, you know, they wouldn't let you wear a hat in school or I had to get a special pass for that and wasn't really allowed to until high school. So I really had to be, I didn't know hiding it was an option. I didn't learn about wigs and what people were doing, especially women, until much, much later. So I was forced to always be open about it, which at the time was really, really hard and hurt a lot. But then later in college and afterwards, because I got used to it, it ended up being very, very helpful. But later I was able to wear hats, and wigs were never really for me, but just like hats. And then I'm still to this day just consistently buzzing, which I in fact did. I want to make sure it looked like what I normally kind of look like, which is like buzzed with some patches, because I still, you know, still pull pretty consistently.
When I was younger, I would come up with all different types of lies of why things were missing, you know, gum in my hair. Before you started to be open about it, did you find yourself lying and saying things?
No, because I couldn't really think of anything. So all I really had was just, you know, just what it was.
Did you try any therapy when you were that age?
I did. So I did when I was 12, which was really rough because it was also dealing with that and the depression, and the stuff they gave me really didn't help too much. But so we did try therapy. We did try a lot of stress balls and stuff. We didn't have tangles yet. Maybe they were around, but I didn't have them. But we did try stress balls, which helped a little bit. The thing that I saw was, I know one thing to talk about is other things that people have used to help. We used to put oil in my hair, which did not help at all. And just made me really frustrated.
Something like that, like the oil, trying to grip it, it's slippery. But yes, to me, they told me to put lotion on my hands all the time. I was like, always put lotion on, always put lotion on. And that's like a sensory nightmare. So I can imagine the oil on the hair is probably just like, you know, ugh, it's not working. It's making me feel worse.
No, the thing that helps a little is making sure I'm consistent with cutting my nails.
How old were you when you first decided to buzz your hair?
I am not sure when that started. That must have been pretty soon. If it wasn't immediately, again, that was probably middle school when we were doing that. Yeah, and then at some point I started doing it, at first, my parents had to do it for me, and then, at some point, probably, if not middle school, high school, I was able to, do that more myself.
How were your parents when it came to supporting you with your
The
BFRB?
so the best they could with what they knew at the time, which was the tried and true stop it, because they didn't know, they understand. I didn't know, I didn't understand. And that was, it was like that until I started kind of, until I found the community. And then, I wrote a little bit about it, and then they really kind of understood, which was great. But they, what we typically hear.
How did you get to the point where you found the community and then started writing for it?
It was really good luck. It was YouTube. It was Rebecca Brown. It was Julian Corsi and the film Trickster. I am fully, wholly indebted to the both of them and other people that kind of got my start into learning about the community.
YouTube is where you found the trailer and then eventually the movie Trickster. Were you searching for it or did it just pop up?
It was so long ago now, I'm not sure. I'm sure I must have just Googling trick in general and then must have found them. That's the only way it would have really popped up. And then I just got even luckier and luckier. My brother's friend David was working on audio for the film. I was able to attend the premiere because of him and meet the director and just thank her and all that stuff. And it changed my life, honestly.
I can imagine for many people, this is the first time they're seeing other people that look like them. How did it feel being able to watch that?
Yeah, it was just a lot. It was really overwhelming because it's this weird mix. And this is also from listening to some of your episodes and other stuff I've dived into. It is that really interesting mix of everything finally making sense and being able to see yourself, and then also this whole other side of stuff you didn't even realize about, the disorder or the people who have it, especially because most of the people are women. So there's that entire other side of it. That is, how it's so much harder for them.
One of the things in the film that stood out to me was the man who was talking about pulling from his beard, his partner, that he mentioned that his partner would say, "Hey, stop, stop, stop," but yet his partner also had a BFRB. So I was just like, looking at that, I'm thinking, "Oh wait, it does feel for us with trichotillomania that we are treated a little more harshly than maybe other people with a more, quote, common
Yeah.
behavior."
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know that I also have a few other small things like biting my cheeks and biting my lips a little bit and stuff like that, all really easily hideable. And then, yeah, I'd say those are just my main three. And then mostly it's just my head.
I meant to ask you, when you shave your hair, do you find relief for an extended period of time because it's so short you can't grip it?
Yeah, the biggest problem really is because for me, I personally would be just fine just going like this forever. It is annoying, honestly, that grows back kind of in a few weeks and then just have to start that cycle over again. Like, I know that that's there's a lot of people that would like to just have, their hair back. I've always just been okay like this, and it would be nice to be able to just keep it like this. So that's kind of what it is for me.
When you do find yourself pulling, do you have a ritual for what you do with the hair?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the interesting things that I found is people do it differently. What I'll do is I will use my palm to kind of create a ball that I can pull out. Like, the biggest thing that surprised me was people who use like tweezers, because I always figured like having that feeling like, with your fingers was essential, and it was huge to find out that there's so many different ways that people do this.
Do you rub it on your lips at all?
I tried that a couple times when I heard that that was a thing, but yeah, not really. I just kind of pull it out and then just put it on the ground or on the floor, and then the pile grows.
Do you have a memory of a very challenging time, maybe one of the hardest times with your trichotillomania?
It really was just like 7th grade in general because of and it wasn't the only reason I was like bullied and stuff, but it was just like easy target and whatever other reasons there were. It was just that whole time was very difficult.
Did you find that you were avoiding things like activities that you loved?
I didn't really have too much stuff that I was doing. I had friends. I go out. I think I maybe had Boy Scout or my last year that I did Boy Scouts, but I wasn't doing too much at the time. That's another thing that I found the community around college, and I think that's when I was able to find like stuff I wanted to do and was able to really like be social. Was honestly partially because I found the community.
What was the first moment where you maybe reached out to somebody else who had trichotillomania or a BFRB?
First time it was probably from there was some emailing of some people within like through like TLC. There were some people in my first couple of years in New Paltz, my college, where we would just talk not too much but a little bit. And it was just very helpful for us to, bounce back and forth a little bit and like check in with each other every now and then.
Were there things that you learned and maybe tried because someone else had mentioned it?
So I definitely would have tried some of the other toys and stuff. So yeah, like the tangles. The other thing that was great, I'm not sure how this came about anymore, but I got my head straight razored once, which the only problem with that is you can't do that in New York. You have to go like somewhere else. This was probably in North Carolina, and that was amazing to be able to have that and have an extended period where it just felt and looked really nice.
During your lifetime with your trichotillomania, have you had moments where you notice I'm pulling less and things are growing back?
Yeah, I have had some extended periods. Like I think the like during college and school, the summers were better where I could have something that was pretty decent for a minute up until school started again. And then the one thing I've noticed recently is because the other thing, I forget the name for this one, is I will sometimes use like a safety razor, kind of the same way that I pull, and just I'm doing that one less. Because the problem with that one is it will create like a lot of damage like past the skin. And I've done that one a lot less kind of since either like more or less after college, just because that's where it gets really hard to hide and can look really kind of destructive. And that's something I've tried to been able to step away from more, which is great.
Do you notice that you have kind of tied your trichotillomania to different emotions? You know, sometimes I think people say, oh, it's, solely anxiety based, but I found myself pulling when I'm excited. How about you? Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
I'd say it's mostly anxiety. It's mostly stress, or if it's not the, or it's also sometimes the activity itself, which is probably causing like anxiety or stress. It's like having trouble falling asleep or video games, stuff like that. That can kind of be a trigger. Like I have a good handle on what my triggers are. It's just not going out of my way to avoid them as much as I should.
Can you tell us what some of them are?
The triggers. So yeah, it would be like, at the time, school. So, tests were the big one back then. I mean, I'm actually going to have a little bit of that as I go for my CMA CPA, like probably in a couple months or so. So I know that tests were always hard work when I'm kind of stuck on some problem solving. That's been a big one lately. So I know that those have been the big ones. During some relationship difficulties here and there, that can cause it. Yeah, just anything like that.
knowing that things are coming up, like your tests and your exams, do you have ways to prepare so that you maybe aren't falling into that trick trance?
Yeah, I'll probably try to pick up something that'll keep my hands busy. Something like that, since I can't really avoid the everything else that comes with it. Just keeping my hands busy is probably the best thing that I have. And then just making sure I'm prepared for the tests themselves.
When was the first time you met somebody in person that has a BFRB?
Probably would have been New Pulse, probably a friend from school clubs that we went to. And just, talked about it a little bit. And
How did the conversation come up?
I am not entirely sure. I know that at that point I was talking about it more openly. I'd even done some like school stuff on it. So I know that that was probably how it came up. I know that some of the posts I made were, I was writing them at that point. So it was probably from just trying to raise awareness, which has been something that, pretty much since watching Trickster, I've tried to do, at least, at least during BFRB week at this point.
What made you want to say, hey, listen, I'm going to share about my experience publicly, and I don't care who reads it. You know, the more the merrier.
Because I knew that because I couldn't hide it for so long, and because I got so used to everything, I knew that I was in a position where I could. And that it could help, and that, whatever I was going to, there were people, again, especially like women and young girls who were having it like a lot worse, and that I could do the best I can just to help.
Did you receive any messages saying, hey, me too, maybe some people that you knew in real life?
I'm sure there were a few, I can't remember anything specifically, but I know that it did receive some, attention. I know that definitely helped, and I'm very, very, very happy about that.
What advice would you give someone who wants to do the same thing? They want to start sharing their story publicly.
So what I did is I wrote specifically for the Canadian BFRB support network. I got in touch with Laura Barton, who helped me kind of, shape my story, so that it was like readable, had that arc or whatever it needed to just, so I would like kind of reach out to like CBSN and TLC and see how they can kind of help you kind of craft, if you're not much of a writer, and how they can help others. And then the other thing that I did was I would just try to incorporate it into some school stuff, which was very helpful. I remember when Trickster came out on DVD, one thing I did is I bought a few copies and put them in all my local libraries. In fact, I'll show you later. I think I'm in a library right now, and I'm sure that copy is somewhere around here. Stuff like that. I put on a couple screenings in New Paltz and Rosendale, just stuff like that. There's just a lot of different things you can do that don't have to even directly involve you speaking to someone or putting the spotlight on yourself. If you're not ready for that.
How was the first time you did a screening? How did you feel?
It was really, really nice, because it also involved a lot of doing, because I was really like spearheading this thing, as much as I could. And it helped with just like, this does sound weird, but just having to do that paperwork and stuff. Because I was doing this once I was in college. It was just, it felt like just the timing was lining up, and it was just very like empowering and helped a lot with like growing up. And it really helped me, like everything was kind of helping me come into my own. Everything kind of like was lining up in a way that helped. And then doing the screening itself, it was just this kind of just, I mean, I was really nervous talking to people, like introducing this thing that absolutely did not go away. But then, like the before and after being on stage and giving that intro was just, it felt really good.
I know I asked you earlier about a challenging time with your BFRB. Where is the time where you felt really successful?
It would be in doing those, it would be in writing those pieces. It would be in traveling to put those DVDs on shelves, and hanging up all those flyers. And It would be in stuff like that. It would be in kind of reaching out to people, you know, when and where I could.
What would you say to people who don't have a BFRB? How would you describe having it?
I would say it's really tough to explain because it's like you're not necessarily thinking to yourself like what the thing is that you need for the relief. You're not really thinking like I need to pull my hair out, but it's just this very, even when you're doing it consciously, it is like subconscious heart. It's just whatever it is for your outlet. You're not thinking or saying it out loud. You are just doing it. And that's why it's so hard to like, that's why just stop doesn't work, because it's just whatever it is that you can do, you're just trying to do. And that's what our thing is, unfortunately. And there are tons of people out there now, you know, like online or whatever, that can kind of back us up on that. And you know, we encourage you to listen to those people if you can't quite listen to us.
I remember just stop, always, over and over, everybody I ever met. And it really put a damper on my healing journey. I felt like I couldn't because all I wanted to do was stop and then I couldn't. So getting to a place where I could accept this about myself took way longer, I feel, than necessary. How about you?
It wasn't really until, it wasn't until college that I felt really like pretty okay with it. And like, and then the only time I'm still really like self-conscious is if I have an event where I have to look like semi-professional or nice, something like that, where I do just need to make sure I have either a hat or buzz my head. Otherwise, I'm pretty okay for the most part. Yeah, it's just those few circumstances where I need to like look like a grown-up.
Have you ever pulled from any other part of your body?
I have, let me think. Mostly, oh, I have tried like my face a little, because I'll have like, I can't really grow anything else here, like a beard or anything, but I can have a few hairs that I can just kind of like twist until they can come out. But that's pretty few and far between.
So I know you're in film. Have you seen trichotillomania or other BFRBs represented in a way that you liked or disliked?
So actually I was listening to the episode on Andrew on the way here. So I know that he brought up the boys, and then the big one for me was, and I'm sure this has been brought up, a young adult film, a young adult with Charlize Theron has the you know, it's not exactly positive, but it's the most realistic, at least up till that point, depiction of trichotillomania, because she does it when she's like, when she's stressed and anxious and stuff. And I think just for, but the main thing is they have a scene where she's pulling, and important thing is she's like, she's an adult and she's at home with her parents, like visiting, which she didn't want to do for numerous reasons, but she's pulling, and her parents are like, you know, they're saying all the stuff that we would typically hear, you know, like you know, you're still doing that. And you know, it looks so great if you didn't, and all that stuff. And it's like so brief, it's a few seconds, but it was just, that was amazing. And I remember when I did a presentation on trich for school, I showed that clip, and it was the funny thing that sticks out, it was so hard to like find it, because I didn't have like the clip. I had the whole movie and I had to like scroll to it, and that took forever. And I like was just trying to, for these brief like 3 seconds, just trying to find that for this thing I was doing. But no, that film was very important. And I wrote a review on it and wrote about that scene with Laura for my blog.
That's awesome. I'm definitely going to be watching it and I'm going to be blogging about it. I have to.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, I would love to talk to you about that some more, and just let me know what you think, and all that.
Yeah, definitely. And you said you watched The Boys too?
I watched the first 2 seasons, so I know that there is a character who deals with it, and I know they, at least in those first season or two, they don't handle it too well. I don't know if they improved upon that at all. And then I found Life and Beth by Amy Schumer, and her character, you know, has it as well.
I love the way Amy did it. How did you feel about it?
also just really, really well done. And yeah, just a lot of respect for her for putting that out there.
The part that really stood out to me was when she was scanning and you see her bald spot and her little fingers moving around, because that is exactly how it feels. I think, in The Sopranos and other movies, even in The Boys, you see chunks. And sometimes it's not like that. Some people do pull out more than one hair, but other times it is just that special one that we're looking for. And I like that she did that.
Yeah, that was a surprising thing for me, because it is like I wouldn't be able to do like one at a time, and it would just slip through for me. It's always been these little balls.
What tips or tricks would you give someone in the BFRB community?
That's tough for me because well, as far as like pulling less or not like that's always been something that I've kind of just put off to the side for now. So what I will say, especially for people who are kids, who are young, what I do want to make sure to say is things will improve. Like people who are jerks in elementary school and middle school will like mature and kind of get it together. But for right now, you do have to protect yourselves. Lean on good teachers, your parents, your friends, anyone who will like support you and help you, doctors, whoever, for as long as you can. And they will help you get through everything you're dealing with.
What is your relationship with your trichotillomania now versus when you were younger?
It's been indifferent. It's been just kind of like just dealing with it, and it's been more about treating the underlying stuff. Like that is what I'm in therapy for. It's not my hair, it's for everything else. It's just for my anxiety in general. And that's, I don't know if that's helped so much with my head, but it has just helped me.
What is something that your BFRB taught you?
It helped teach me how strong I am with that support system. I'd say that's the big thing. It taught me how outgoing I can be. But once I kind of knew I wasn't alone, I knew what I could do. And that's made all the difference.
Is there anything you would like to say to listeners?
The thing I would encourage again is to just see what resources are online. Find creators who are going through the same kind of trick or whatever it is that you are, and just get friends, family, whoever you need to in front of them. That will help. That should help. And you can reach out to us, and we can do our best to listen and talk and whatever you need. Thank you.